This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. As we reflect on the 2015 Rolex Kentucky three-day event presented by Land Rover, we hear from two riders who had memorable rides this year. Colleen Rutledge, who returned with her old partner Shiraz for the third time to Rolex, and she also brought with her a new homebred partner in Covert Wrights, who really made his mark at his first Rolex. But before we hear from Colleen, Elisa Wallace joins us to tell us about the ride she had finishing 17th on her debut at Rolex, riding Jill and David Hopcroft's Simply Priceless. Elisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks guys.
Well, now you're driving home, of course, with time to look in the rearview mirror and reflect on how that weekend went for you. You were probably a little bit disappointed with yesterday's performance in the arena, but overall, what was your biggest takeaway from this weekend?
Overall, I was just really happy with the experience that Windhorse and I gained, and the fact that I was proud of both of us in handling the atmosphere. Yesterday, I was really relaxed. It felt kind of like home in there, which was a good feeling. And, you know, we have some technical things to work on, but my horse felt good, actually. It was disappointing. I for sure would have been epic if I could have put a clean round down. But I was so proud of him yesterday in a really tough cross-country. And we were really going against top horses and riders in the world. So I got to keep a perspective and keep telling myself that, you know, we were still in the top 20 and to really appreciate that. So,
well, let's go through the weekend, Elisa, coming into this competition. Obviously, I'm sure you've been to the horse park before, but this was your first time riding in the Rolex three-day event there. So a big occasion for you. How did you feel about his preparation as you arrived in the park? Were you happy with his state of fitness and what lied ahead that weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this season for him has been a little light. And just in knowing my horse, I just wanted to, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You've got to get them fit, but you want to make sure that they are not broken. So, it was that delicate, stressful line of, making sure your horse is prepared. I just started working with Karen O'Connor about 2 weeks ago, and, she really does a good job of, pushing me out of my box per se and really kind of helping me polish my riding. And so my horse's demons have always been dressage for relaxation and of course stadium a little bit. And so coming into it, I really tried not to think about the fact that, oh my God, I'm riding at Rolex. I worked my whole life to get here. And I really tried to not say that to myself. I was really just saying, I'm just here playing with my Mustangs doing demos. And so he had felt really great this whole week. He was really relaxed. And he can be a very kind of high anxious type horse. And he has this little switch where he's over something, he's over it. He's done. He wants to go back to the stall, and he's just over it. His appetite was up. He was eating. He was happy. And then when we went into our dressage test in front of, actually, it was a fairly decent crowd for a Thursday, I thought. And it was weird. I didn't quite know what horse I was on. He was so good. And I actually really had fun in my dressage test. And there was that moment when I came down the center line at the end and I thought, what just happened? Did that really just happen? Did we really just like have one of the best tests we've ever had at Rolex? So it's been pretty surreal.
Well, of course, riders talk about the horse they've got when they get into that Rolex arena. You've got to ride the horse that you have, and clearly he was very rideable for you.
Yes, and that was pretty amazing feeling for me, that all of our hard work, I've trained with a dressage trainer back at home, Karen McGoldrick, and you know, we've been working really hard, and then Karen O'Connor the past couple of weeks has really given me some more tools to help him really feel secure with me and to trust me and to you know, it's a partnership. We have to be there for each other. And the same goes for the dressage ring as it does in the cross country, as it does in the stadium. And that's what is so awesome about our sport. And, he just, you know, I can pick myself a little bit apart. Like, I would have loved to have nailed all my changes, and then we would have been in the 40s. But it was our best test, and it was just an amazing feeling to just have him there with me and relaxed. And it was really enjoyable, so I was really happy.
Well, it sounds as if you were very relaxed, too. The occasion didn't get to you when you went into the arena there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been, I do the work with the Mustangs, and I've had a lot of competitions where we've had, in Texas, a very electric atmosphere. So that's been good practice. And I really was working on the psychology, because, I mean, I've had times where I've choked for sure, and I let the butterflies get to me, but I really, with that horse, you cannot have an ounce of anxiety, because he will reflect you for sure. And so I made sure that I stayed relaxed, and I wanted to stay strong in my mentality. And that's, again, where Karen O'Connor has been really good at. She's kind of hard on me, and she tells me to do something that way, and I try to just stay really focused and doing exactly what I'm told. And that has really, I think, improved my riding and keeps me relaxed, because I have that job to focus on doing that right then and there. And so that's what we've been working on, and it worked. So it worked on a good occasion, so it was a good feeling.
Well, you were already turning a few heads when you left that arena, so then you could concentrate on the course ahead and plenty of time to walk it. How many times did you actually look at the track?
I walked it 4 times.
And what were your impressions as it evolved and became more familiar to you, Elisa?
Well, the first time I walked it, I still remember, I was like, as we were coming near the end, I was like, man, there's another combination. Oh my God, there's another combination. Where's the finish? And then the more I walked it, the more I got a feel of the course. And I've ridden Derek DeGrazie's course up in Bromont before. And he is very good technician. He is very good course designer. And he did an excellent job with what he was given out there in the footing. And with all the rain that they had, and everything is big, and he makes it so, you know, it's cross-country riding. You know, this is not, you've got to go out there, and you got to mean it, and you got to want to get it done. And that's how I was raised, to do cross-country. Like, that's what's fun. You want to grit it out, and you want to work hard, and you want to be there for your horse, and there are times where your horse has to be there for you, too. And, the more times I walked it, the more I was like getting in the mode of, it's me against the course. That's how I felt about it. And so by the last time I walked it, which was in the morning before I went, I had a plan in how I was going to attack things and how I wanted to ride things. And, we actually lucked out a little bit with the weather, but as I was riding, the rain was, it got pretty hard while I was riding. And I felt like I got a little tired around like the 6 or 7 minute, and it was because I couldn't really see the fences, and I felt myself stressing a little bit because I was like, oh my God, I can't see the fence. And you're coming up to a solid 4 foot for a 3-9 table that's 6'7" wide, and you can't really see it. So I had to just relax and allow myself to really just stay in the zone and see what I could see. And it just kept getting better and better. And it really I can say it was fun after I finished through the finish line.
Well, I know a lot of people were impressed with that performance. You went out there not as a rider who'd never done Rolex before, but someone full of confidence and attacking attitude to that course. As you say, it was about you and that track, and you were out there to get the job done. It was a very, very impressive cross-country performance, especially in those conditions, Elisa. I'm curious as to what your instructions were when you left the start box from your trainers, your team.
A little bit of hesitation on my part about the coffin, because I know there were people that were having some issues on good horses there, and Karen had sent me a text and said, "No, you ride that how I know you can ride it." You know, she, like I said, she's pretty hard on me, and I like it a little bit. And you know, it's to ride smart. My last words from my dad are always ride smart. And, I grew up watching Mark Todd and go around badminton on one stirrup on a horse he rode the day before. You know, that's just, you go out there and you get it done. And I have a really, that horse, I have a lot of faith in him. And he loves cross country. It was a lot of fun to get it done. And really enjoy some of the combinations. I think my favorites were the head of the lake, which was interesting because I was most nervous about the head of the lake because those dang skinnies are pretty skinny. And the minute we dropped in and my horse just locked right on, he understood. And I was like, well, heck yeah, this is awesome. This feels fun. And then some of the other combinations where I had to work a little bit were a little like nerve-wracking, like, okay, we got that done. But then once we got to the double corners and I was coming up to the Normandy Bank, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have the Normandy Bank left. And I come up there and kept galloping. It's like, you know, you want to make sure you're coming to that sucker. And we did it, and it felt like a roller coaster. And you get that feeling when you get your butterflies in your stomach and go down on the roller coaster. It was so much fun. And those two were really, really my favorite. Probably my least favorite was that big old ditch and wall. My horse thought to have a little bit of peek at it. So that's where every now and then you'll see me one-handed because I had to have a little bit of insurance with a little stick behind my leg. It was funny, too, because I was doing a course walk and Jimmy Wofford was out there doing his famous course walk with a bazillion people. And I remember him, it was actually pretty interesting to hear this as I was walking it, because he said, so I hear it's going to rain tomorrow, and then so Jimmy Form, and he's like, you know, when I was riding and it was raining, I thought, oh goody, I'm going to get a ribbon. And that just kind of made me giggle, because I thought that, heck yeah, okay, well, I can do this. That's how I'm going to kind of go the mindset. Oh, goody, it's raining. People are going to be worried about it. And I was lucky. I got to go a little bit earlier on, so the footing was a little bit better. But then again, I had the harder rain. So, you know, it was an incredible day. And my horse was great, and I had a really great team of people helping me and my grooms and really taking care of my horse. So, yeah, it was truly one of my favorite cross-country rides.
Well, of course, you've developed an incredible partnership with this horse going into a competition at this level, and you know each other so well. But even so, Elisa, coming out of a Rolex four-star event after that cross-country round must have filled you with confidence, and for him too.
For sure. And I always had faith in him that he could do four-star. The three-star, we haven't had a lot of experience together. We've only been together 2 years, and we did our first CCI three-star last year at Bromont, so it's the first time I get to feel him at 10 minutes. And he was actually, he felt tired, I think, more so at Bromont than here at Rolex. I mean, he was tired, of course, it was 11 minutes, but he... I still had, when I asked him to go, he still took put his ears down and he dug harder for me. And so, yeah, I mean, it's coming out of it. It's like, wow, we did that together. And Karen O'Connor was like, that horse could do a 5-star, which I would have no doubt. He would certainly try really hard for me. So we've always had a pretty good partnership on cross country. And it's, like I said, our biggest things have been dressage and stadium. So I feel like this weekend we really improved on two of those. So now we just have to fix the third one.
Well, going into the Saturday night, then obviously a great satisfaction in your camp for sure. Now the next morning coming out, how was he for the jog? How did he recover from that long track?
Yeah, he recovered pretty well. I mean, all the horses kind of come out a little bit like, oh, that was, I mean, shoot, my back was sore. I felt bad for my horse because I was walking a little stiff. So, I mean, we worked a lot with massage therapy, and we have a great Centurion magnetic blanket that we've used. And, of course, ice is our best friend. So we wanted to make sure that he felt he had all of his little aches and pains away. And he really, he was dragging me around, like, for the jog. He was, I had to make sure I had on the heels that I could run in and stay with him because he was full of himself, which was a good feeling that my horse was feeling good the next day. And again, like, after stadium, he basically wanted to canter back to the barn, and I was like, just ran a 4-star horse. It felt like he could just go around the cross country again. Like, so yeah, he was super.
So obviously very satisfied then that his preparation was just as it needed to be with that level of fitness. So you walked the course, the conditions were that much better, a nice clear day, and of course the all-weather footing in that arena. You had gone into the arena feeling like it was yours now, by now, as you said. So talk us a little bit about through the preparation there, because Karen would have helped you prepare for the show jumping phase too.
Yes, she was actually commentating that day, but she came down and helped me. And I mean, the butterflies started to get to me a little bit, especially when you hear that crowd roar. But once I was able to start warming up and, it really helped relax me a little bit. And the biggest thing with my horse is really getting his shape better over the fences. It's what makes him such a good, fast cross-country horse because he knows where brush is and he can stay a little bit more aerodynamic, but that really kills us in the stadium ring. So it's really about keeping him rounder and allowing that shape to come over the fences. And we got it over the first jump. The first jump felt amazing. And I was like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. And then we came to the second fence, and that fence was being taken a lot. And I felt like I rode it pretty good, but then I heard that soft roll, and I was like, really? That was not fair. And so I just kept doing what I was told. You know, I talked with Marilyn Little. She was nice enough to talk to me about the course because she's ridden a lot of Jeffrey courses, and how they kind of want to suck you into the thinking, oh, it's just a nice bending line, but really it's that very square oxer, and he wants you to tip a little bit, and you really still need to ride a line and square your turns and keep a round horse. So that's really what I tried to work on. And then, of course, to not get last fence-itis. So, I mean, I heard we were having rails here or there, and I was just trying to not let that, like, I really didn't keep count, because in the end, it really didn't matter. I just wanted to put down a good ride. And so I just kept going and doing what I was supposed to do. And then when I came to the last fence, I just kept in my head, you know, keep your shoulders back, ride to your line, do not get in a hurry. And I kept the last fence up, which I was proud about. So, you know, we landed and went through the finish flags, and that was a huge, huge sigh of relief to be able to finish. And, you know, I was so proud of my horse because he did. He tried. It felt like it was 2 inches in a couple of spots where if I just had 2 inches more, the rails will just speed up. So we have good homework to do. And it was a good feeling, too, to come out of the ring and have David O'Connor say, you know what, that's okay, it's 100% fixable. And I'm like, okay, well, that's good to hear.
So lots of very positive takeaways then, Elisa, from this weekend. What will you do with him now in terms when he does come back after presumably a nice holiday now? And what will be the next goals for him?
I think in talking to Karen and David, the plan is to try to head over to Blenheim in the fall and to get some international experience over there, which would be exciting. His owners, Jill and Dave Hopcroft, are from over in England, so that would be, I think, a really fun trip. And to go from there, I think that, with this horse, we get things done. So I feel like the more we're going to progress, the more we're going to be a force to reckon with, and to really just get out there and to have people take a look at it.
So obviously very ambitious with him. How old is he, Elisa?
He'll be 14 in November.
Right, and obviously got more mileage in him yet. So what would be the ultimate long-term plans for him?
You know, it was Rolex. And to be able to go from there is pretty incredible. So it'll just be kind of one step at a time and to see how things go. Because the biggest thing, of course, is to listen to our horses. But so we'll do Blenheim and then we'll give another crack at Rolex next year to see if I can finish on my dressage score. That would be the next goal.
Right. So we're not going to lose you to your Mustangs then in the performances
that
you've
done. Oh, no. Hopefully I'll have a branded one running around Rolex one day.
Well, that would be a dream come true, I'm sure, Elisa. Lots to look forward to then with this horse and with the other horses. We're going to see you back at Rolex next year. But for now, congratulations on completing your first Rolex. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yep, sure. Thank you so much.
Colleen Rutledge is no stranger to the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, but this year she bought two horses. Her longtime partner Shiraz finished 14th, but it was Rolex first-timer Jill and David Hopcroft's Simply Priceless who stamped his card at the Kentucky Horse Park by finishing 11th. Well, that was a weekend to remember for you with the two horses, and obviously a horse that we're familiar with is Shiraz, your regular partner there, your third visit to Rolex with him. But the other horse, the homebred horse of Covert Rights, was one that I think caught a lot of people's attention. Let's tell his stories to start with, Colleen, because you must be really thrilled with him.
I am completely thrilled with him. You know, all I ever ask for my horses when they step up a level is that they learn something about themselves and that they give me what they can give me. And he did that in spades this week. I'm just completely thrilled with him.
Let's tell his story from the beginning, because I said homebred. So obviously you're a particularly proud mama having taken him all the way through the level to complete it at a 4-star. How did his parentage come about? What's the story behind him actually coming into this world? How did you select the parents?
Well, it's even a neater story than just simply him being a homebred. He's actually the only son of the first horse that I ever learned how to break. I had been working for my mentor, Kevin Bowie, through Pony Club. And she sent me into, you know, this round pen to go break this 2-year-old chestnut thoroughbred filly. And I went in there and being a 16-year-old know-it-all, you know, cracked the whip and told this filly to go trot around the round pen. And the filly turned around and charged at me. And I screamed and ran and jumped out of the 6-foot round pen, went to my boss at the time and tried to quit my job and was told that I was being ridiculous to get in there and go break the 2-year-old. And from that was his mother. And Delia and I formed a partnership in that aspect. She was sold away from me because she belonged to Kevin. And I had ended up getting her back through Kevin. She ended up being my first advanced mare, so the first horse I ever ran advanced on. And she was your typical, you know, chestnut thoroughbred mare. One of her barn names was Schizosquelia, because she would be going completely one way at one point and then turn around and be 180 degrees the opposite direction in no time flat. So she was the dam. I love her. She is my heart. And she's actually the reason I knew I could ride Luke when I got Luke, was because of my experiences on her. But then CR's dad was a half thoroughbred, half Clyde stallion that I'd had some dealings with in dealing with the babies. I had been breaking babies for Coggy's owners, and just thought that the combination of Delia and Coggy would make an amazing horse, even if I got the worst of both of them. So, you know, and it's normally a good adage when you're breeding horses. If you think that the worst of both parents is still going to make a good horse, then it might be a good breeding. So that's how CR ended up.
So here you are with this partner for life, hopefully. And talk about the owners. Is it a syndicate? How is the ownership, Colleen?
He belongs to me outright. I've owned the majority of my horses. I have a few horses that are owned by other people in partnership with me, but he has been, he's been mine since the day he hit the ground. And I am unbelievably lucky to have support from my parents, my mom, Sally Morris, and Coy Morris, and my husband, Brian Rutledge, you know, to be able to do this. But he's owned and funded solely by, you know, me and my little band of supporters, so.
Well, obviously a partner for life there then. So tell us about your preparation going into Rolex, Colleen, with him, because it's a big deal moving up the levels, as you say. What had you done with him this year, and how did he feel when he arrived in the park?
Well, this year, I mean, my normal preparation for Rolex is to do, my horses normally step back up to advanced at Pine Top down in Georgia. We do go to Aiken to begin our training off earlier, because, you know, the winters in Maryland can be very tricky. And even though I've got an indoor, with the injury that I had a couple of years ago, winters have gotten a lot harder for me. Cold affects my hip a lot more than it used to. So wintering in Aiken, starting at Pine Top down in Georgia, and then doing Carolina to the Fork to Rolex. So he didn't do a whole lot of competing. You know, we did the three main competitions, but, you know, lots of fitness work. When he got to Rolex, I knew that the arena was going to be a big deal, because he can take atmosphere and either make it work for him or let it work against him. Last year at Fair Hill, he allowed the atmosphere at Fair Hill to work against him. And I was really hoping that, you know, being a few months later, having some more experiences under his belt, and some of the competing that we did this year, especially at Carolina, when he went to get a little bit nervous in the dressage and I pushed him much more forward than I needed to for a good score, so I kind of sabotaged our score a little bit, was done solely with the thought in my head of being able to lay the groundwork for Rolex. And then there was lots of bribery involved when we went down for our arena familiarization with him. I had my groom, Alex Ambelang, and my mom and Jim Wofford down in the ring with pockets full of peppermints to just entice CR and make him think that ring was where the peppermints, you know, began and ended, so that he would feel much more comfortable. And I could feel his excitement as we cantered into the ring to do our dressage, and we cantered down the long side past Wayne Coral sitting at E, and I could feel him kind of bubble up, and then I felt him take a breath, and I was like, oh, he's with me. Oh, this is going to be fun. And from there on, you know, he was with me every step of the way, and that's exactly what I had been hoping for.
So the peppermint strategy worked. Was he looking for peppermints when you walked out?
He actually, he did look for peppermints as soon as we stepped foot back on the rubber bricks to walk back up the alley. He was definitely looking for peppermints, but it was very funny because while we were in the ring, he was completely 100% with me. And as soon as I dropped the reins and patted him, he looked up and the crowd's roaring. And he looked up and he's like, "Oh, look, Mom, there's people with us. How cool." And he's such a goofball when it comes to that. And that's where his greenness really shows, is that he actually sees the people and he's like, "Oh, I'm a little, should I be worried now?" But, you know, he's so genuine and he's so good and he's such a goofball about stuff that was, you know, one of the funnier moments for me.
Well, you put that behind you, a 42.3, wasn't it? You're nicely in fifth place after 2 days of dressage, but you would have gone out and had a look at the course for him, with him in mind, as well as for your old partner Shiraz there. So what were your impressions, Colleen, of when you were going to ride these two horses cross-country, how the footing was going to be and how it, of course, changed, and your impressions of this new course?
I absolutely love Derek's course. I felt like it had been designed in mind for Luke, you know, and it played to Luke's strengths, and it was a fantastic course. So having to translate it in my mind for how I was going to ride it on CR was, you know, that was the toughest part, and that's what Wofford and I spent a lot of time discussing, of how I needed to change where I needed to make sure that I changed my ride from Luke to CR. And going out first on Luke, I knew that I was going to have the best possible ground that anybody was going to have all day, and that I needed to just let him go and do his job and show everybody how the course could go. And he did that in spades. And then when I came back with CR, I knew that the ground was going to be, you know, having watched the rain fall and everything, and I knew the ground was going to be much heavier and much more holding. And I actually ended up studying CR much larger than I had in the past, mainly because I'd rather take time from him having to work to get off the ground than to have him get worried and slip. So it was a calculated decision to, you know, have a little bit harder time galloping in between the fences than, you know, to have him be a little bit easier and have the possibility of slipping, because even being on the best ground on Luke, well, there was a couple of places we had slipped because of the rain that had fallen. So, you know, it was a really neat experience for me, being able to ride two horses that I know very, very well across the same course and then being very different rides.
Well, clearly very different rides. So what did you learn from Luke then about the course, and did that change anything toward your tactics, your strategy that you already had for CR?
It did. We all knew that the jump into the frog pond was going to be big, but we didn't know how big that drop was truly going to feel until I jumped in on Luke. And it made me absolutely positive that I was going to sit back that much further on CR. You know, just having run the course once makes it easier to kind of tweak what your thoughts are going to be and how you react to certain fences. So I got to go out on that course on my second horse a lot smarter, knowing where I could, you know, where I could help him the most, where I could help CR the most in maintaining his confidence and how I needed to ride the fences. I can get away with murder on Luke because he's so game and he's so clever and he's so good about things that I can be wrong and Luke's going to pick up and take over for me. And with CR, I needed to make sure that I gave him a much more confident, much more positive ride, and that I needed to have more confidence in myself rather than having more confidence, you know, in Luke. So it was a really good experience for me to be able to do both of that.
Now, when you went out on him, then obviously he was going very well. It was later on in the day, and you got that benefit, as you say, having been around the track before. So how did he respond to it? It looked very good, obviously, from what we could see of the coverage, but he must have given you a good feel, and he had the confidence that you obviously were transmitting to him, as you said.
he gave me a fantastic feel. He was definitely green coming out of the box. You know, looking at the crowds, the only thing I can actually fault the horse on was not at the fences themselves. At the fences themselves, he was very, very genuine and very, very focused. But it was after we landed from the fences and he looked up and realized, oh, wow, the ropes are lined with people. And that is what backed him off. So in between the fences where we would have a gallop is where he'd be a little bit more backed off. He's a very people-oriented horse, but at the same time, he is quite spooky. I, in fact, almost fell off of him coming into the vet box at Carolina because at the end of the course, two vets, you know, jumped up to come do his temp and pulse and respiration and everything, and he slammed on the brakes so fast he almost lost me over his head. So knowing that he's that little bit of a spooky horse, I knew that it was going to be a lot of questions for him in order to get that confidence to gallop around. At the fences, he was brilliant. He was clever. He stayed absolutely genuinely straight to his line. He kept his eye on the fences. And by the end of the course, was a much smarter, much more capable, confident horse. But I definitely played a part in keeping him confident by not telling him he couldn't do anything. I didn't try to set him up. I tried to allow him to figure out how to take care of himself. And, you know, he answered every question with a yes, ma'am, absolutely, ma'am. Why wouldn't I do this? And, you know, it put a smile on my face every time he jumped. And it made it truly feel easy, no matter how bad the footing was.
And this came across in the general picture of you riding Colleen. I know there are people that have said they've not seen you ride as well as you rode this Rolex. Well, what do you attribute that to? Was it having the two contrasting horses, the experience, obviously, of riding around that track and in that terrain? What do you think put you absolutely on fire this weekend?
Really and truly, I have been working really hard to get my mental game up to where it needs to be. You know, riding is a very physical sport, but it's also a very mental sport. And knowing that I was the first one out on course really gave me that kick in the pants to sit up and put up. And I hate waiting around to hear kind of how things are going. So this gave me the chance to get out there and be like, you know what, this is how things are going, watch me go. And it was, having been around the world essentially on Luke, it gives me the confidence. He feels the best he's ever felt, and he is jumping fantastically. We've been working really hard on our flat work from all aspects on both horses. I've got two of the most talented cross-country horses ever. And the stops that I've ever had on the horses have been my stops. They've never actually really been theirs for the most part. So, you know, it was more of me finally making the decision that, you know, I can get this done and I can absolutely go get this done. And I have two partners that are willing to give me what they've got and do it with a smile on their face. So, you know, it's definitely a neat place to be sitting and knowing that I've got two horses like this that are just happy as can be to go with me.
Well, I'm sure there were lots of smiles in the barn on Saturday night. So talk us through the Sunday then, Colleen.
Sunday, you know, it was get up and see how the horses are feeling. And we took them out and got them walking. And they both, you know, looked fantastic considering they had just run an 11-minute course the day before in less than ideal conditions. And, you know, Luke is not a spring chicken, but he went out and, you know, got more walking and got feeling good and, you know, went through jogs. Both of them absolutely with no question. And that's, you know, you always have a question in the back of your head going through jogs. You think your horses are sound, but you want to make sure, and you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing for them. And to know that both of my horses absolutely went out there with smiles on their faces, like, oh, look at me, I feel fantastic. Just after, you know, after they passed jogs, I've been working with Doug Payne and Jess Payne on some of my show jumping, just because they both have such incredible eyes And, you know, Doug's been doing a lot of the show jumping professionally and doing that, and I've been working with him, especially while we've been down in Aiken, and have found it invaluable. And so we had a quick jump school in the morning just to warm up some muscles and make sure that everybody felt good, and they both felt fantastic. So we went and walked the course, and, you know, both Jess and Doug gave me some really good insights into that course, and Richard always does such amazing show jumping courses. You know, then we went and rode it, and I'm disappointed in the two rails that I pulled, because really and truly I pulled them. Like, CR didn't quite grasp that the fence was quite as wide as it was at the first one, and I knew coming around to the line that was right there on the grandstand that he was going to be a little bit questionable, because that's where he had had a little bit of a meltdown on Thursday evening when we were doing the arena familiarization. So he got a little distracted there. So I feel like that was a little bit more of my, you know, my inability to help him stay confident there. But he's such a good jumper, and he tries so hard that, you know, the rest of it he just made feel so easy. And then Luke, our two rails over in the vertical in and out, I got him a little bit in wrong, got a little bit forward, and he just couldn't quite, you know, pull everything out for me, but he felt phenomenal jumping. So I'm just, you know, as disappointed as I am that I wasn't perfect in that, they are jumping so much better than they were before that I still have to be happy with them. And, you know, they both gave me what they had and did their best, and that's all I can ever ask.
So I hope there were peppermints involved then at the end of the day for both ponies.
Multitude of peppermints, absolutely multitude of peppermints. You know, they both did their jobs, they did it well, and, you know, gave me what they could give with a smile on their face. So, you know, absolutely, there were peppermints immediately on walking out into the warm-up arena.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the program, Colleen. I'm sure you're thinking ahead now, once they both have a rest, as to where they're going next. Do you have any plans you want to share with us at this time?
I don't, actually. You know, we haven't really sat down and thought about it. My thought hadn't really gotten past getting through Rolex, and now, you know, getting some of my younger horses through their competitions. So I'm sure we'll sit down in the next few months or so and have a conversation about where we can go and what we can do, and just kind of, you know, my horses will tell me where they want to go. So
absolutely. Well,
it'll be exciting.
Yeah, exciting times ahead with the team of horses you have, and no doubt now full of confidence with Covert Rights, or CR as you're calling, after 11th place finish at his first four-star event. Colleen, the very best of luck for the rest of the season, and thank you again for coming on the program.
Thank you ever so much.
And you can find the full results from the Rolex Kentucky three-day event presented by Land Rover on the website at rk3de.org. This podcast is available for download from the iTunes podcast store if you prefer to listen to it on the go on your smartphone or tablet. It is available on various apps, including Stitcher and Podbean. We want to thank all of you around the world for listening to our show each week, and I hope you'll join us again. Until next time, thank you for listening, and enjoy your eventing.